Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Our first reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Listen now for God's word. In those days, when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me for now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." His disciples replied, "How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?" Jesus asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these too should be distributed. They ate and were filled. The second reading comes to us from the letter of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Listen again for God's word. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of God's own purpose, God gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this: to care for the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For the last several months, my sister and brother and I have been going through the house where we grew up, cleaning out closets, looking through pictures, packing boxes. You see, we are getting that house ready for another family to make their home there. Now, I'm sure I don't need to tell most of you that downsizing a house and cleaning out a house filled with 50 plus years of living and furniture and objects of, well, I guess, importance, is a daunting task. Indeed, last weekend, I went down with my family, my husband and my youngest daughter, my son-in-law, and met my sister so that we could load a U-Haul with things that were coming to find a new home with my family. And so along with the dusting and the cleaning and the boxing up, we were moving precious things to have a new home. Now you can imagine that in order for that those new things to find a place in my home, that also meant, well, preceding work of cleaning and dusting and shifting and boxing up so that there would indeed be a place for one particular important special piece, my mother's dining room table. I probably was about 6 when we got that table. It was, in my memory, this beautiful, gleaming, dark wood table with almost a mirror-like top. It had these fancy, elegant, curved legs, and it sat in the fancy dining room, which became the site of every Sunday dinner, our special celebrations, our Christmas meals, and our Thanksgiving feasts. We had to dress up to sit at that table. We ate really good food at that table. And it was, to my child's mind, magical. Because it didn't matter how many people beyond our family we had over to eat, no matter how many people showed up for some event, there was always enough room. Now, as I grew up, I learned that the magic came from the marvelous addition of table leaves. I just want to give credit to whoever figured that out. A table that could grow to fit more people. A table that could expand and accommodate in one place all the people, all the food, and all the talking. And while some of you might tell me stories of having been relegated to a kid's table in your growing up house, I would share with you that for as long as I can remember, from the time that I was 6, I had a place at that table. I can't help but think of no better symbol of generosity than a growing table. The very idea that one could make a table bigger rather than limit the number who can sit there is to me the very heart of what it means to be generous and hospitable. And even now I can close my eyes and hear the echo of my mother's voice saying, "Come in, take a seat, let me make you a plate." So as a child, when I encountered the feeding stories in the Bible, and oh my heavens, did I love those feeding stories, it usually meant an extra snack in Sunday school, right? When I encountered those feeding stories, and there are lots of them, I totally understood Jesus' view of generosity and hospitality. In those stories, I could see that Jesus made room for everyone, even when there wasn't a table. In those stories, I could see that Jesus never turned anyone away, even when it didn't seem as if there was enough. And so in the gospel text today, we encounter one of those feeding stories where we see Jesus surrounded by a great crowd who has been following him for a number of days, who themselves have gone with nothing to eat. And Jesus notes with compassion a sense of concern for these people. And so he approaches his disciples about feeding them. Now imagine for a moment being one of those disciples, looking out on the amount of people gathered there. Our text tells us 4,000. The quantity of food needed, a lot. And the quality of the environment, a desert. And Jesus is asking them for what seems to be an impossible task to accomplish. You and I would agree with the disciples. The optics don't look good. This doesn't look like it's possible. But we see in this text what Jesus does. He first takes stock of what he has. 7 loaves. And then later 2 fish. And he tells the people, invites the people, all of them, to sit down at a makeshift table in the desert. It is an unlikely action, don't you think? But you see, generosity always surprises us. Jesus invites people to sit down when it's clear to everyone who knows there isn't enough. And yet, that is precisely what Jesus does. In an act of generosity, Jesus gives something more than what is expected. He says, "Come on, take a seat. Let me make you a plate." And the text tells us that not only were the people fed, they were satisfied. It's clear that there was not only enough, but more than enough. For after all the people had eaten, the text tells us, Jesus gathered up the leftovers. And in what I would guess is another act of generosity, offered them again. For the author of the book of James, generosity is a hallmark of our God, the one who made us, the one who placed the abundant lights in the heavens, is by character generous and gracious. Look at the creation God made, so full of abundance. God cares for the whole world and all who live in it with an abundant love that does not change. It's why I chose our first hymn this morning. We sang the words about a God who changes not, whose compassions fail not, in whom there is no shadow of turning. In God, there is a constancy of care and purpose that nurtures and blesses us, and in turn leads us to act in nurturing ways that bless others. James tells us we are called to be more than simply hearers of God's word, but generous doers of it. You might be considering at this moment then, well, so how do we become generous doers? I invite you to look at Jesus, God's incarnation with us. Jesus shows us how to become generous doers. Jesus stands on that desert hillside And he shows the disciples and the people gathered there that generous doers presume abundance even when all the evidence is to the contrary. Jesus shows us generous doers are moved by compassion for those who are in need. And generous doers give thanks first and then set to figuring out all the particulars. When you and I share what we have with others, it is not only a commitment of generosity, it is also a life-changing, world-changing act. For I imagine that those folks who sat on that desert hill and listened to Jesus teach and preach for 3 days themselves experienced a life-changing act of generosity. That in the act of being fed and being made full, they encountered not only a fullness from the teaching and hearing of the word, but a fullness that came from Jesus acting out the word. And I expect that, like most of us who have been gifted by an act of generosity, those people too set off from that hillside to act likewise. For those who experience an act of gracious generosity become themselves doers of the same. And you see, I know this to be true because my mother's table has come to live at my house. In my dining room, where I intend to continue the good and generous tradition and practice of making space for all who come. And my own children will now learn the magic of expanding that table. And our family will be able to tell anyone who comes as a guest, you have a place here. It is so much the same for us coming to this place. This place where at our center is a table. A table of grace. A table that is not magic, but a table that is always big enough for everyone who comes to sit at it. It is a table that invites everyone to come and be fed, a table of radical generosity and holy hospitality. You and I have come into this place this day from longer than 3 days being in the desert of the world, and we find ourselves before a table of abundance. Invited here by the one in whose hand no fragment is ever cast off, and a place where no person is ever turned away. At this table, Jesus says to each one of us, come, take a seat. I have made a place for you. Amen.